I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line, it's Monday, the 26th, the day after Christmas. They call it Boxing Day in Britain, Michael Lombardi. Boxing Day,
oh,
as we say hi.
That.
Yeah, Boxing Day. It's good. Soccer's. English Premier League is back. I know you're excited. Soccer is back. So we're. The world is right.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'll get soccer.
Michael
Who's
Lombardi,
playing today?
Of course. Nice to see Michael. I hope you had a great Christmas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to start there, but did you have a nice Christmas with the family? Literally,
wonderful. Yeah.
We're now seeing that people are dying from this weather. So it started to get serious, right, with this cold and up in Buffalo, the terrible scene up there. So hopefully you had an okay one where you could stay inside
and stay
warm.
It was beautiful. It was cold but nice, and it was always good to be around family and friends and enjoy it and just to kind of take in and feel how grateful we are as a family, you know, to have so many great things around, five great healthy grandkids, you know, one guy won, one guy lost, but we'll get through that all. You know how it goes.
Well, I do believe the Panthers are going to make the postseason. We'll get to them coming up in just a little bit.
You and Will Hill.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it. And I owe Lions fans. My friends in Michigan were texting me nonstop because I said Dan Campbell facetiously should be fired. I don't believe Dan Campbell's going to be fired, okay? Let's just put it that way. But let's start with the presents that Tua was handing out in Miami yesterday. 26-20. The Packers didn't even play well. Brian Ortega, our producer, he's a big Packers guy. He said the Packers didn't play well. They come away with a 26-20 lead. They hold on to their slim playoff chances. And this was an absolute meltdown from Tua. They closed 3.5. Miami, the total closed 49. Let's run with this.
Well, I think it was a little bit of a combination of a meltdown, right? I think to me there's a misalignment with the Miami Dolphins. And the misalignment occurs because of Justin Herbert. The misalignment occurs because they picked Tua over Herbert, and they're obsessed with trying to prove that Tua's an elite quarterback. And they've got strong candidate people backing him. I mean, Emmanuel Acho on Twitter was, you know, he's a big guy at his corner. You know, like, they've got a lot of people that say, I'm not sure we're all watching the same game, but that's beside the point. But let's focus on what really matters. And I think this Miami Dolphin team has lost touch because of this Tua eliteness, trying to prove Tua's great, that they stop doing what they should be doing. They've only run the ball for over 100 yards 5 times this year. They were dominated at 10 carries for 58 yards in the first half, right? And they come out in the second half and they don't even want to run the ball. They want to throw. They want to prove Tua's great. And what I have the biggest issue with, Patrick, it isn't that Tua can't play quarterback. That's not it. My issue is Tua has to be managed correctly. You've got to build a run game around him. You've got to make sure that he's not the focal point of the offense, that Hill is, the running backs are. You've hired Mike McDaniel to be your head coach because McDaniel is supposed to be a run game guru. And you're gashing the Packers at a clip like you can't believe at 4.6. And what people don't realize, and I said this on the podcast, the Miami Dolphins, who are 8-7 now and were at one time 8-3, they are the 32nd team in rushing attempts in the National Football League. 32nd. They run it the least amount of any team, including the Kansas City Chiefs. And so you're exposing a defense that isn't very good, and you're exposing a quarterback who's prone to not always be perfect. And to me, I think it goes back to the misalignment of understanding who the quarterback really is.
So this is on McDaniel as well. They're too reliant on explosive plays. I mean, over this four-game losing streak, they've had two touchdowns that didn't come off of an explosive play. You saw the two yesterday, Waddle 84, Tyreek 52. It's almost like what you said. They're trying to showcase what they have at quarterback and wide receiver, and they're getting away from the run, and the run is what they do so efficiently when they do
I mean,
it.
They had 18 carries total in the game, right? You know, and they averaged 4.6. And they were gashing them. I mean, they were gashing them. And every time you run the ball early in the game, you have to adjust your run game, how they start to fit the run game. So, but this is why you hired him. This is why you hired McDaniel. Like, you didn't hire McDaniel to throw it all over the yard. And so, all of a sudden, you're not playing any complimentary football whatsoever. Because let's be clear here. Your defense isn't any good. You're not great enough to stop. You can get a couple negative plays, but the problem is, I think what happens to Miami is they get in this situation where they know if Tua has to be 8, 9, 12, there's going to be a breakdown, like we saw on the drive he throws the interception to Campbell, right? They were moving the ball effectively there. Little run, little pass, they moved it. Oh, he throws an interception. Like, I'm not saying Tua is a bust. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's Mitchell Trubisky. I'm also not saying he's elite. I'm also not saying he had any business being in the MVP conversation. Like, I'm saying those things. I'm saying he's limited. His arm strength, sure. His foot quick, it's limited. Is it good enough to win with? Yes. Can he win a championship? Hold on. You better be really good on defense. You better be really good, and you better be really good around them. And I think that's the issue. They're not good enough on defense, and they're not good enough, and they won't commit to a run game. They just won't. I mean, they won't. I mean, the first time they ran for 100 yards all year was week 5 of the season. They ran for 137 against the Jets, right? Then they ran for 111 against Pittsburgh. They ran for 107. Their best run game was against Cleveland. They ran for 195. And they refused to run it. Then against Buffalo, they run for 188. And that was a good game, right? What did we say about Tua in the Buffalo game? Played really good, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Oh, he looked really good. Well, because they're running the ball a little bit. He didn't have to carry the team. But yesterday, oh, we're obsessed with it. I think it's as much on McDaniels as anybody. And then he doesn't even challenge the one call. Like, I just think, to me, there's a misalignment with what they have at quarterback, and that's resulted in this four-game losing streak.
You know, that weather forecast in Buffalo, in an odd way, benefited McDaniel because they expected snow and wind, so he curtailed his play calling and almost backed into a better rhythm with cold weather as opposed to pristine conditions. Let's hear from Tua after the loss.
On the first one, I tried to throw it over a defender, but I ended up really throwing over the defender and Tyreek. So that one got away. The second one, you know, I might have said the wrong play. I'm not too sure, but there was just some communication errors on that. And then the third one was just not a good ball for my receivers to have been able to make a play on that. So, you know, it's tough. You get an opportunity to play on a Christmas Day against a really good team, you know, and I go out there and, you know, really not being able to put my best foot forward for our team.
Okay, so three interceptions in the fourth quarter from Tua. Those picks led to 6 points. Obviously, that was the difference in the game. Question for you about Tua, and I mean this sincerely. Why is it taboo to talk about his limitations? And all kidding aside, we're not being sarcastic, but why is it taboo to have that conversation?
I mean, it's like the, you know, it's like he doesn't even make a bad throw. I mean, even the touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill is like if he puts it out there to him, you know. But it is this unbelievable campaign to try to make people believe that he's as good as Herbert. There are some people out there that actually think he's better than Herbert.
Stop.
I mean, that's why we're offering a 20% discount at Pearl Vision Center for any of these people that need to go there, because it's absurd. It's truly absurd. And, you know, I think to me, like all quarterbacks, maybe with the exception of Patrick Mahomes, even Herbert to a degree, you got to manage them. I mean, the guy's thrown 400 passes already this year. That's 30 attempts. That's 30 in 13 starts. And really, he didn't finish the Cincinnati game, but he started it. So it's really more like 12 starts. But that's over 30 throws a game. He's got to be – they've got to run the ball. They've got to milk the clock. They got to help their defense out. And then those explosive plays come in handy. But they're not a great third down team. Why? Because it's short throws and people are defending them. I don't know, Patrick. It's one of the great mysteries to me is how you create this illusion of greatness. And the media campaigns along with it. It's like my man Tim Tebow. Like, why were we paying attention to Tebow all those years? Why was the worldwide leader craving everything? I don't know. I can't explain it.
Mike McDaniel, of course, first-year head coach there with the Dolphins. He's now lost four straight here in December. He said this was uncharacteristic of Tua.
Yeah, it was unexpected. Did not foresee that happening. I felt strong coming out of halftime, just where our guys were at. I didn't foresee standing up here really in this situation. So those, I know the team feels the same way. So it's, you know, apparently we needed another gut check, and we got a, you know, there was critical errors, turnovers. I mean, the percentages of winning games where you're, what were we, minus three. You turn the ball over four times. Yeah, you're not going to win the football game.
Can you sift through that and pull anything from it?
No, I mean, I think he's, you know, again, he's not going to blame Tua. That's part of the campaign. That's how he got the job. But to me, I think he should reevaluate. I mean, we're the 32nd. We had an 8-3 record. We're 32nd in the league in rushing attempts. Like, I'm not saying run the ball. I'm not saying just run it and take Tua away. But I'm saying your defense is horrible. You can't stop anybody in the passing game, right? You struggle at times to stop the run. You know, you're unable to really cover. So why don't we play better complementary football? And I think ultimately that's been their problem all along. They put so much on – they want Tua to be great, and that's what the campaign keeps coming in.
The Packers' defense all year has been a letdown. The Packers' defense may have just saved Green Bay's season. We'll come back and discuss it, playoff machinations as well. Boxing Day, Lombardi Line.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app. If you're in Vegas, stop by an MGM property. Bring your Vegas ID and you'll be ready to bet within minutes in person. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. 21 years or older. Again, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. It does appear... the Packers' demise. I tried to bury the Packers the other day. It was premature. The streaking Packers, they've won three straight. They're 10 seed in the NFC. Michael Lombardi, as we welcome you back. Much alive in the postseason race. Their win over the Dolphins. They're currently one game behind the Commanders for the final playoff spot. If the Packers win out, they've got the Vikings and Lions, and the Commanders lose once, Green Bay will earn a postseason berth. They didn't play great, but they got out of Miami with the win.
And I don't even think they played well. I didn't. I mean, I thought defensively they were really bad. I mean, Big Daddy was texting me the whole game. He had given up on it, you know. I mean, they only made Miami punt once. Now, I know Miami turned the ball over three times in the second half. But still, I mean, you know, they were, you know, if Miami were better on third down, they're 2-for-7 in the game. You know, that killed them. And they gave up 8.4 yards per play in the game and won. Think about that, Patrick. Think about it, you know. And so... yep. If you run the ball on Green Bay, you understand how to attack them. I think you can. And I don't think this Green Bay offense is there yet. I mean, I think they're struggling to kind of get going. You know, losing the receiver, Watson, yesterday hurt them. I thought Lazard had a couple bad drops in that game. You know, I thought they got a break. Miami got a huge break on the interception. I don't know how that wasn't pass interference. Like, I don't know. Guy pushed him right in the end zone. But, you know, I don't – people say, well, they're going to fear the Packers. I wouldn't fear the Packers. I think the Packers are going to have a hard time if they make
Aaron
the playoffs.
Rodgers,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, 100%. They were down 20-10, but they were able to claw their way back into the game thanks to the defense. Well, let's hear from the quarterback on the other side, Aaron Rodgers.
Definitely better than 3 weeks ago. Four, I guess, because of the bye. Mike, yeah, what do you think? Pretty good, yeah. Getting better. A lot of things happen our way. I don't think we've struggled with confidence, but definitely haven't had a lot of believers outside the locker room, I don't think. So maybe this will give us a couple on the bandwagon. But, I mean, we've been in a good rhythm, practice, energy, cohesion, and then playing a little bit better, complimentary football. It wasn't perfect, but that's a good football team, and they had a lot to play for. So it's a good win for us.
Season was on the line. Mason Crosby was able to hit four field goals. I think every day is an adventure if you're around Aaron Rodgers daily. You never kind of know what you're going to get, but there he was talking after the game.
But I thought he said a great point. He said we played complimentary football, which they did. You know, I mean, they were able to stay on the field on third down. They got to fourth down. They weren't great on third down. They converted fourth downs to stay on the field, you know, and they were able to, you know, the first two drives of the game, they get 10 points. So, you know, that matches the 10 points that Miami got. So the game didn't get detached from them. Then they controlled the middle eight. You know, that fumble at the Miami 49 was huge, right? So they get that fumble, kind of an unforced error, really, actually. I mean, Reed stripped the ball out and he recovered it. Great play. So, you know, that really got them going and that turned it into it. And then they were able to take advantage of the second half. I mean, they didn't punt in the second half. They throw that interception I thought was a bad call. They overcame some holding calls and they were able to make yards. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're getting a little better. I was surprised they didn't run the ball a little bit more, you know, especially earlier in the game. They weren't getting – I mean, I think at halftime, I think Aaron Jones had like two carries. He only had six for the game. You know, I thought they would use Jones and Dillon more in the passing game, and I think they're going to have to, especially if Watson's hurt.
Yeah, Jones is their leading wide receiver. So he obviously, and surprised again, like you, that he wasn't used and targeted more yesterday. But like I said, look, the bottom line is the Packers, they went out. They've got the Vikings and Lions, and the Commanders lose once, which is very viable. They'll be in the postseason. And yeah. I don't, the difference is we always would say something like, if they get in, nobody wants to play them.
Yeah.
People would want to play the Packers. It's okay
this
year.
They're not the same Packers. I mean, you know, Rodgers is still good. He's not the same because I don't think there's a lot of lack of trust between the teams. So I would dismiss that as, oh, wow, we can't play the Packers. Now, you know, I mean, some of these teams in the NFC, they're not great, right? So, you know, the Giants, if they played them, you know, it depends on who you played, right? So say the Packers play the AFC, the NFC South winner, right? New Orleans, Tampa, or Carolina. Would you be scared of playing them? Of course not. I mean, they're not playing very good either. I mean, the problem with the NFC is outside of Philadelphia, San Francisco, and, of course, Kevin O'Connell is not allowed to go in any casino in Las Vegas because he's the luckiest man on earth. Congratulations to him. Other than those two, I mean, who are you worried about? Who couldn't beat one another in the NFC?
No. Right? I totally agree. Totally agree. And just to put a bow, and we're going to move on, I want to get to Denver, but to put a bow on Miami and Green Bay, Brian, our producer, points out, and I knew it was disparate, but I didn't realize it was this much. You know, that first half for Tua, 9 of 12, 229, one touchdown, no pick, 7 of 13, 81 passing yards, three picks in the second half, all in the fourth quarter. Just,
yeah,
that's the adjustment you come out with? Like, that's some of that has to go on coaching as well.
They started to pack the middle of the field a little bit. Like, you know, they were able to do that. And, you know, and they fumble. And the next time they get the ball back, they're up 10. The next time they get the ball back, they're down 10. The score's tied. See, I think Miami, as much as I don't think they understand how to play complementary football to a defense that's not very good. They at least said it yesterday on the broadcast that Xavier Howard isn't playing well and their other corners haven't played well. And if they don't get pressure, it's a problem. And they still blitz. Remember last year they played better defensively? A lot of that was Brian Flores because Brian Flores changed what they did. I mean, they were trying, like Josh Boyer, their coordinator, he wants to go zero cover, zero cover. They backed that out last year, and Flores kind of took over the team. It's why Boyer's still there, right? You know, he survived the onslaught of Flores, and he's there, and he ingratiated himself within the building. But the reality, the strength of that defense was Flores last year changing what they did. Now they're back to throwing nothing but fastballs, and if you play against a good quarterback, you're going to get beat.
The Denver Broncos closed a 3-point favorite on the road. They got beat at the Rams 51-14. It certainly wasn't that close. It wasn't as close as the 51-14 score indicates. Honestly, the less said about this performance, probably good. Denver, if there are any questions about Hackett, I mean, 100% he's gone, completely disinterested. The team completely mailed it in. And the bigger problem here is just Russell Wilson. It's not going to change. He's not the same player. That's the bottom line.
He's not the same player. And look, you know, all we heard about before the game was how both teams are going to play hard and both teams were listening to their coaches and both teams were fully vested. And this is going to be a game where and me as an idiot, and I take full accountability for my actions here, for taking Denver in the Russo poll, for me doing that, I was counting on Denver. They had success last week. They kind of got going. Thought Denver's strength of the team was their defense against the Rams team that's not very good offensively. And yet they made Baker Mayfield look like he was the greatest quarterback of the day. I mean, think about it. They made Baker look like he was sensational. So if you're George Payton, you're like, this ended it. And I thought for sure, Patrick, on national television, Denver would have had their finest. They would have tried to play their best, you know, to salvage something of their season. And yet they took this opportunity to play their worst. I don't see there's any options. Now, there's no options with Wilson, but he's a disaster.
And was it Dalton Risner? That maybe was the guard there that was fighting with. And maybe Brett Rypien was coming to the defense of Wilson. We don't really know what was happening there. The bottom line is there is no control there on the sideline with the head coach.
None. There's no toughness on their team. There's nothing about their team. And then what's gotten worse is that Baker only throws four incomplete passes in the game. Think about that.
Yeah, I mean, so the defense mailed it
and
in.
Hopkins, there's receivers out there. Who's beating you on that team with a bad offensive line? Like, come on now. I mean, if you're George Payton today in your office, I mean, this is a hard pill to swallow. I said after they lost in Carolina that I thought there was quit in Denver. And for some reason, when they came back against Kansas City, people started to feel like they were playing hard. I thought they would, too. I got conned into it, and it was completely a con.
Let's squeeze Wilson in here. I want to hear from Russell Wilson after the game. It's a long one, but worth it.
It starts with me eliminating the errors. You never want to start a game that way. So I let us down today. But tomorrow, you know, you got to get back after it tomorrow. And we can't blink an eye. We got to be able to stand tall in the midst of the storm. And that's the only way to get through it. The only way to get through tough times, trials, all of it all, is to stand firm in it and know that, you're going to get knocked around a little bit in terms of just life. You know, when you're going through stuff in life or whatever it may be, whether if it's life or football or whatever it is. And so, all I know is, and all we're going to do is, you know, we're going to stay together. We're going to battle for the next two games and give everything we have, every day.
Michael, the spread Millie Lombardi put together for Christmas was 5-star, like Michelin. I had frozen pizza. Russell came over and cooked it for me. That's what he's cooking.
Wasn't good. Okay. He's making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches right now. I mean, that's Tony. He should go on the Speakers Bureau. That's Tony Robbins stuff right there now.
TG next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Holiday special continues into Boxing Day. Make sure you get it right now. Of course, vsin.com/subscribe. $79 through March Madness. We're not going to have a better deal all year. $20 credit to the VSiN online store when you sign up right now. So you get everything. You get the betting tools, like the betting splits. You get the guides, Michael Lombardi exclusive articles, picks from the hosts and guests every single day emailed to you. vsin.com/subscribe. To become a pro, it's vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we're back. We've got Step Into My Office coming up in about 15 minutes. But right now, we're going to be joined by our partner there at the Borgata. He runs the race and sports book here on the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi, Patrick Maher. Now, Thomas Gable joins. And a well-deserved day off for you and the family yesterday. How'd the book do without you there?
They did fine. They actually, we had a better day yesterday than we did on Saturday when I was here. So Saturday was a day. Saturday was a day, Patrick, where, like, if I give you a Christmas card with a $50 gift card inside, and then you give me a Christmas card with a $50 gift card inside, well, guess what? It was net. Nobody got anything, really, right? That's what happened on Saturday to us at the book. It was literally, we just exchanged money with players back and forth. So, you know, it was like, you guys win a game, we win a game. You guys win a game, we win a game. But yesterday, all three games went our way. So it was a much better day yesterday for us than on Saturday.
Yeah, what was the game that cost you the most trouble on Saturday?
So if you go on the early games, the Panthers and the Lions, that was not a good decision for us. The Bills covering was not either, and the Chiefs covering also didn't go our way. In the late slate, we needed the Cowboys, so that was good, but whatever we made on that game got given back on the 49ers game. And then the late game, we actually we needed the Raiders there, and obviously the Steelers were able to pull out a victory there in the last minute and send the Raiders, which obviously we're just talking about Survivor there, the Circus Survivor contest, and someone was very, very close to winning that on Saturday night, and now he's no longer even in the contest.
Yeah. I wanted to reiterate, this guy Mad Dog, Michael, I'm sure you heard of it. So if the Raiders would have held on Saturday, I really want people to think about what I'm about to say. Like, let this conceptualize. He was going to win over $6.1 million and then he went to losing yesterday, so he lost $1,000. So he went from winning $6.1 million to being down $1,000. That's a pretty wild ride.
Yeah, I wonder, did he have any other options besides who did he take yesterday? Did he take Miami?
Believe he lost with Miami. Yes.
Yeah.
Because he was out early. So
yeah.
I mean, his options would have had to been on Saturday night if he could have gotten like $2 million together and hedged on the Raiders Steelers game. That was his option there.
Well, that's the thing, is coming up with that chunk to be able to hedge. My thing was, my assumption was, once it got down to four, Thomas and Michael, that they would have gotten together and chopped it. Because you're talking over $1.25 million a piece, right, Michael? Wouldn't you think they'd try to get a hold of each other and get a chop going? They're down to four.
Unless you felt like you had had Kansas City left or something, where you had why would you give up Kansas City in a game where you know they're going to win, right?
Sure.
You know, other than that, but if you're throwing darts at the board, which a lot of us were all year in terms of who's going to win the game. I mean, remember, 80% of the league this year, the spread hasn't really been in account, which tells you why Survivor's been so hard.
Yeah. No, it's well put. I assumed you did well yesterday, TG. Dogs 2-1 straight up, 3-0 ATS. Mm-hmm. Whenever we see the dogs cash like that, I think the book does well. How well did you do?
We held a pretty high percentage yesterday. And, I mean, it's not always the case for us when dogs come in. I mean, like you said, making the generalization, I think for a lot of books that is the case, but for us it's not always the case. But yesterday it was. We had a lot of public play yesterday with it being the holiday. So tourists were in, and that was a good thing. So, it got off to a great start with the Packers winning outright. And, I'm sure you guys have already discussed Tua, so we won't get into that too much. And then, my goodness, the second game with how bad Russell Wilson looked. I mean, it's just, I don't even know what you do if you're the Broncos in the offseason here. And, you know, you've already tied yourself to him. But the Rams came out, and that was a good result for us. And then even in the late game last night, obviously Tampa needed overtime to get the win. Didn't cover the 7.5, which is where that closed. Trace McSorley was pretty serviceable there for Arizona. And the Cardinals ended up getting the money in that one. So all three games, we came out in good shape. And NBA yesterday, we had a decent day, even though Michael Sixers won and covered there against the Knicks. So it was good.
I didn't watch one play of the NBA the whole day. I didn't watch one play of the NBA the whole day. I can't wait to find out what these ratings were. I mean, I can't
the
wait
NBA
to see. Even though that was a horrible game, even though it was a horrible game between, you know, the Rams and the Broncos, I still think it's better than watching any of that goes on, you know. So
it was an NFL massacre. It was a Christmas NFL. I mean, NBA got absolutely buried by those three games. And it's, you know, two games, as you just mentioned, Michael, late that really – weren't great matchups. The NFL just continues to trounce.
But, the Cardinal game was a fun game. I mean, it wasn't two great teams, but it was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was entertaining. I would agree with you there. And I thought Arizona played hard. Both defenses played pretty well. Tonight, you know, Michael and Matt Eumanns agreed. They were both on the Colts. That was, I think it was at 4.5, Michael, if correct me.
Yeah,
and now
was.
Where are we sitting with this number with the Colts here hosting the Chargers? Chargers win, and they're in, Thomas Gable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it's at 4. Now it's at 4. But when you have sharp guys like Matt Eumanns and Michael, that's what happens when sharp guys get on 4.5, they drop it to 4. So, but honestly, Michael, here with the Colts, you know, they're coming off of just that huge collapse there against the Vikings, right? That's the last time we saw the Colts, was when they gave up that 33-0 lead. At this point, if you're the Colts, what do you really have to play for?
Well, I mean, you're playing for your job next year. You're playing for your ability to get a contract. You're playing for a lot of things, right? And so there's pride, too. When you get humiliated like you did on national television, you know, you tend to have a way to bounce. You want to bounce back and give it up that big lead. And if Saturday wants to be the head coach of the Colts, he's going to have to do something here. There's no denying it. And so I just feel like this is going to be an opportunity. I'm not saying they're going to win, But I think it'll be a closer game because, let's face it, the Chargers are not a great defensive team by no means. And I just feel like this has got a chance to become where they could pull, playing at home, crowded stadium. I mean, the fans are still going to be into it. And if Foles does anything in the passing game, which will be more than what Ryan could do, they have a chance against a secondary that's not very good. So I feel like it's a game that the Colts, because they're playing home and they were embarrassed, I think it has a chance to come together. Plus, I'm not sold that the Chargers are dominant against any team they play.
No, I think the Chargers have looked better defensively their last couple games. But as you said, I mean, we've seen a lot from this team, and the defense certainly has a lot of holes in it. But the offense, I think, is maybe what's a little bit most concerning for them. When you have Keenan Allen, Mike Williams available for Justin Herbert, I mean, he's a different quarterback, obviously, when he has all those guys available to throw to. But they haven't really put up too many points either the last couple of weeks. So it's if you're a Chargers fan, and you know obviously they are in playoff position at this point, but they have to maintain that. It's got to be a little concerning.
Well, they since the bye week, TG, you make a great point. Since the bye week, the highest point total they had is 27 against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. They lost that. I mean, in the last seven games, they haven't been able to score. When they beat Miami, they only won that was a dominant game. They won 23-17. That's my point. I mean, last week against the Tennessee team, they won 17-14, and it took a miracle at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And Tennessee's playing with Tannehill on one leg. I just don't see it as – I see it as a close game, and I thought the 4.5 early in the week was a really good number.
Did you drop the total from the opener, Thomas?
Yes, the total has definitely dropped. The open 47 and it's now down to 44.5 as we sit here.
Mm. You know, going back to that, Thomas, the two highest scoring games they've had were against Houston and Cleveland. They scored 34 against Houston and 30 against Cleveland. So they're not a dominant offensive team. In terms of how many points they score, they make some mistakes along the way.
I think you're going to have a big handle tonight because it's still a holiday for a lot of people. Today is a day off as we the day after Christmas. So I think you're going to be busy over at there at the Borgata with a big handle on this standalone game.
All week. Yep,
yeah, absolutely.
Be busy all week. So
okay, TG, and you got the EPL soccer back, so I know you're excited. Keep the momentum going there at the Borgata. We appreciate you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. Next, step into my office. Time for some tough talk. Lombardi Line.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Single first touchdown scorer prop tonight, Monday and Thursday night, all through the season. Any losses, you receive up to $25 back in free bets. So again, BetMGM, the king of sportsbook, running the special every Monday and Thursday throughout the season. Single first touchdown scorer prop. If your bet loses, you're going to get up to $25 back in free bets. It's a great deal all season long over at the King of Sportsbooks. Check it out, betmgm.com, or download the app and take on that single first touchdown scorer prop. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. And as we do, Michael Lombardi, we do have breaking news by way of the NFL. Yeah. He has been relieved, that being Nathaniel Hackett, of his job. This is feels more like doing the kid a favor at this point because it just had gotten so listless there with the Broncos. But Nathaniel Hackett is out with two games to go. Your immediate reaction?
Well, I think it had to happen, right? And I think that, you know, they're going to look, they were going to fire him in the offseason. So they're going to get a 2-week jump on trying to get their list together. But there's bigger issues than just Nathaniel. They made a really poor decision, and Nathaniel wasn't ready to be a head coach. I mean, I think we saw that pretty clearly from the beginning. And now that, you know, now that they've made this change, the person that hired him is going to go back again. So he better, George Payton, the general manager, he better reevaluate how he went through it, because I could show you articles about how proud they were of their process, which led them to Nathaniel. And so if that's what led you to Nathaniel and this guy was this bad where he gets fired after, you know, with two games remaining in the season, 15 weeks, then you really better evaluate how you came up with it. It's not his fault. This is really what this is about. This is not Nathaniel's fault. Nathaniel wasn't ready to be a head coach. It was your fault for hiring him. It was your thought for thinking that he could do it based on an interview. It was your thought to thinking that he could finish this and build an offense. And now the bigger issue is, who are you going to hire and saddle with Russell Wilson? Who's coming in to embrace the Russell Wilson? Right? Who are you going to get out there that says, oh boy, I can't wait for Russell Wilson to show up, right?
Wasn't going to work from the jump. 15 games. Hackett was 4-11. He becomes just the fifth coach in NFL history to be fired before the end of his first season. But you just said it. If you want to go out and get a Sean Payton, Sean Payton's going to turn you down immediately. He's not coming to coach this Russell Wilson.
Well, he's not coming to coach Russell Wilson. He wants to control. He wants to run his team. He wants to build his team. And you don't have any resources for him to get a quarterback. Look, we all know this. We all know that you're only as good as how your quarterback plays. I mean, and that's just fact in the National Football League. I think why Matt Rhule is in Lincoln, Nebraska today is because he never solved that riddle. A lot of guys, they can't figure this out. You know, whereas Brian Daboll, why has he won 8 games? He's gotten Daniel Jones to play better. Is it good enough? No. You know, is Josh McDaniels 6-9? Has he gotten Derek Carr to play at a higher level? No. I mean, Carr's actually not played. He played better last year when there was kind of nothing at stake. Every big game they've had an opportunity to play in, you know, Carr hasn't made the plays they need to make. So it all comes down to the quarterback. All of our job security in the National Football League is based on that. And when you hire a guy to fix the quarterback position, or to evaluate the quarterback, and he makes this much of a mistake, you're going to have to move on.
You know, I started by saying the Broncos are doing Nathaniel Hackett a favor, and I think if you saw the performance yesterday and you see his body language, which you have discussed all year with Hackett, just didn't feel, horrible. Didn't seem comfortable, in his own skin on the sidelines. They're helping him out.
He wasn't ready for the job, and that's the part of the job of the general manager, is to be able to say, okay, yes, Nathaniel presented himself really well in an interview. But is he going to be able to handle this? Is he going to handle the pressure of having to take on this quarterback who, you know, was on the downside and build an offense around him? Is he going to lead the coaches? Is he going to demand from the players? There's nothing good in Denver right now. And You know, and I think George Payton's got to take a hard look in the mirror and say, okay, where did I mess this up? You know, I know I had all these five people involved in the committee of hiring Nathaniel. It led me to him. Everybody thought Dan Quinn was getting that job. This time last year, everybody thought Dan Quinn was getting that job. But Nathaniel blew him away in an interview. What does that tell you?
I'm kind of a little surprised, not putting down Nathaniel Hackett, but just from what we've seen from him at the podium, I'm a little surprised that that personality translated into the interview room. But look,
that's what happens, Patrick. That's what happens. They get these guys in the interview room, and they answer questions, but they don't ask questions. Okay, let me put you in this situation. How are you handling that? Let's go through your game tape and explain how and why this occurred. Like, there's so much, hey, I think this guy's a good player. I think this guy's a good coach. It's so much relying on outside forces to really tell you if the guy's good. Interview it. You got to put the person under pressure. I mean, Al Davis would make you go to the blackboard. What are we doing here? How are you handling that? Who's coaching that? How are we handling this situation? You know, I mean, and so if you can't answer it, but when you just go in there and present, okay, here's what we're going to do in training camp. Here's what we're going to do. That's all meaningless. It's the Bob Lamont program to becoming a head coach. It gets you the job. It doesn't make you successful at the job.
Had a wonderful relationship with Aaron Rodgers, parlayed that into a head coaching position. Seemed from the outside looking in completely overmatched in every aspect. That's it.
No doubt.
There's no other way to put it.
And now they're a mess. Now they're a mess. Does the new ownership group who didn't hire George Payton, does he stay? Now, Adam Schefter says he's, without a doubt, he's staying.
Oh, wow.
And Schefter's wired in that organization. So, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you trust him to go back and make another call again.
What, the Bidwill? It's like the Steve Keim approach, right? You're going to get another shot at this? You just made two horrific decisions, the quarterback and the head coach.
They're the only two decisions that matter. They're the only two That's decisions right. that matter for the general manager. You could overcome every other one. You could overcome a bad draft choice. You could overcome a blown first-round pick. You can't overcome a bad quarterback selection, nor can you overcome it. I mean, Ryan Pace did it in Chicago. He picks Trubisky, then he comes back and picks Fields, right? That cost Nagy his job. He picked Nagy. So it's like you can't make a mistake there. And sometimes it's hard. It's really hard to find somebody who's ready to be the head coach. So you got to help them. You got to find somebody that's coachable, that's willing to help, that's willing to that at least has some leadership qualifications to take over the team. Nathaniel never demonstrated any of that, ever. Like, if you go back, I mean, he got fired midseason in Jacksonville because the offense was underperforming. Now, you can blame it on Blake Bortles, and certainly that was probably the case. But to me, Jacksonville had one magical run when he was running the offense. There was never evidence over his long career, other than when he got with Rodgers, which you can't. I mean, LaFleur before he got to Rodgers wasn't very good.
Doth protest. It's all coming back to me now. Remember how you told me that the Broncos leaked their hiring process and how extensive and exhaustive it was? We should have known then. That was them feeling insecure about the hire and letting people know, no, seriously, we really, really canvassed everything.
Of course they did. I mean, they were proud of it. Because when you're searching, you don't know what you're searching for. That's the problem. You got five people in the room that are making a decision based on who should be the next coach of the team when at least four of them have no idea what it takes to do the job. How can you be a part of the interview process if you don't even remotely understand what it takes to do the job? How can you be? And so what happens is you get all these opinions coming in from outside. As I always say, they've never dedicated a monument to a committee. I mean, go to Washington tomorrow. You ever see a committee monument over there? Of course not. Somebody's got to be able to figure out what's real and what's not. You know, and there's agendas by everyone. And this was, to me, and I love Paul Hackett. I work with him. I feel badly for him. It's a shame. But I think, to me, this is not Nathaniel's fault. I think Nathaniel was put into a job he wasn't ready to get in. That's fact.
Every industry, you see it all the time. I see people popping up hosting, and I'm like, it's not his fault. It's the management that said they think they can do it. You see it with quarterbacks.
Then they don't give him any help.
The help they need. Correct.
And then they don't let this. They don't build a staff. They have too many people. First of all, he's in a job he's never had to manage anybody before, and now all of a sudden he's got to manage a whole organization. You know, and now is, and then the first time was when the offense wasn't very good. I mean, one thing about Denver, when they had Williams and they had all these receivers, they were good. But what was going on in training camp? There was no toughness, right? They go to Buffalo, they get key. He didn't play anybody in the preseason. He went to the LaFleur approach. And all of a sudden now, I mean, have you heard one word coming out of there that in the summer that Wilson wasn't very good? The only word you heard about Wilson having to prove himself was on our show and our network, because we all know from betting him and watching him play last year, he didn't play good. You didn't hear that from the national media. I mean, you know, I see it all the time on Twitter, the guy that makes fun of you all the time about, people thought they're a Super Bowl winning team for the next 3 years.
The professional disappointment certainly there for Nathaniel Hackett, but let's not cry for him. He's going to get a nice little parachute on his way out of Denver, Colorado, by way of lots of cash, and he'll get another OC job, and he'll be fine. But news.
The one thing I think about the contract they gave him a 4-year deal. They didn't give him a 5-year deal, and I think it was under the value market too.
The big news: Nathaniel Hackett and the Broncos part ways. 4-11, one season, not even finished. We're back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.